Hello, everyone. Good evening. It's so nice to see so many of you coming in to continue to learn night after night with Yeshiva University. A big thanks to Rabbi Dov Winston and to Rabbi Yaakov Glasser, who helped put together all of these shiurim. It has been a year. It is very difficult for us to believe that it has been a year inside for the most part, a year of a topsy-turvy world. And it has been a difficult year. There's really no words to try to capture the number of people that have been lost, the number of opportunities that have been lost, and the pain that people have gone through during this year. And yet, it has, for many, been a time of growth. It has been a time of spiritual growth. Families have grown, even as families have lost members of the family. Our yeshiva has continued to grow and to excel remarkably. People ask me, how's the yeshiva holding up? I don't know what how to answer such a question. How's the yeshiva holding up? Baruch Hashem, due to the very dedicated work of the Rebbeim, the Mashgichim, and the Talmidim, the yeshiva is flourishing amidst this pandemic, and it's something that all of us as the YU community should be very, very proud of. Marzu Sha'anu Ochlim Al Shumma. Seems like a pretty simple question. Why do we eat mar? Ashum shemeru hamitzrim eschai avoseinu b'mitzrayim, because the Egyptians made our lives miserable, so we eat mar. It does sound easy enough. But have you ever thought about how strange that is? How opportunistic it is? The Egyptians enslaved our people for 210 years or for 100 years, however long exactly the slavery was. So what are we going to do to put ourselves in the footsteps, in the place of our ancestors? We're going to eat. Eating is a very, very Jewish thing. It seems like a strange way to commemorate a slavery. It seems like a very strange way to commemorate tragedy. We know what we do. We know what happens to our meals when we commemorate tragedy. We fast. Now, for those carnivores like myself, to eat a piece of lettuce is pretty close to fasting. But isn't it strange? How could it be that the way that we commemorate the slavery is through eating a piece of lettuce? Do we not perhaps get off just a little too easy by allowing this to be the way that we relive decades, generations of slavery? There's another strange feature of Maror, and that is that Maror, of course, appears already in Parshas Bo with the initial commandment to make a Pesach Seder. Now, of course, on the one hand, they wanted that Pesach Seder to be the first of all Seder, and they didn't want to do very much different from future Seder. Or did they? There's an entire Mishnah in Pesachim that outlines the differences between what was called Pesach Mitzrayim, the Pesach experience that the Jews had in Egypt, and Pesach Dorot, the Pesach that would be kept in all years afterwards. Did you ever wonder, why was there Maror at that first Seder? Did they really needed to be reminded of the fact that they were slaves in Egypt? They were still in Egypt. They were still slaves. Yes, perhaps they hadn't done much work over a couple of months. But why would the Jews at that very first Seder have been commanded? I understand the Pesach. The Pesach represents their freedom. They were tasting freedom for the first time, literally and figuratively. But why have Maror at the first Seder? And a third question, not simply how do we get away with commemorating Maror by eating a piece of lettuce, and why was there Maror at the first Seder? But why is it, if the purpose of Maror is to remember what happened to us so that we can recall all of the difficult things we went through in Egypt, you'd imagine it would get more important as time went on. And yet we know that the mitzvah of Maror today is only midrabanan. It's only a rabbinic mitzvah. It's no longer a biblical mitzvah. Now, we have to understand, we fortunately take mitzvot midrabanan very seriously, as we should. We should take mitzvot mitrabanan. We should do them. We shouldn't spend all of our time thinking about what's derabanan and what's from the Torah. Usually that's in an effort to try to get out of something. But when something is aser midrabanan, or something you're chayev midrabanan, if you are obligated on a rabbinic level, what it effectively means is you're not obligated on a biblical level. Which means that although we need to be reminded of what happened in Egypt, there is no biblical mitzvah today to, in fact, eat the Korban Pesach. The famous Gemara tells us that matzah bizman hazeh de'oraisa u'maror de'rabanan. Why would it be that maror would lose its effect after being connected to the Korban Pesach? Again, three questions. How does eating a piece of lettuce, even for those of you who don't like salad, how does that somehow mimic? What a strange way to memorialize the years of slavery. Number two, why is it that they had maror at that very first Seder? And number three, why is it that maror today is only a mitzvah from the rabbis, no longer obligated from the Torah? Now, the Gemara tells us that the reason why there is no mitzvah of maror from the Torah anymore, why is maror different than anything else? And why is maror different than matzah? Because the pasuk says, al matzot umrorim yocheluhu. You should eat it. What is it? The Korban Pesach. You should eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and maror. The Korban Pesach was originally meant to be designed to be eaten together with other things. The matzah was a sort of a sandwich. The maror was sort of a spice. And they were meant to be eaten together with the lamb. I asks the Gemara, if that's so, then matzah today too should only be midrabanan? The Gemara says, if you no longer have a Korban Pesach, you no longer need the sandwich. You no longer need the maror. The Gemara says, when it comes to matzah, there's a separate pasuk. By matzah, the pasuk says, Ba'erev tochlu matzos. There's a separate pasuk. There's a separate mitzvah. There's a separate concept of eating matzah. But when it comes to the maror is found only in the context of eating the Korban Pesach. Today, there is no Korban Pesach, and therefore there is no maror. As the Rambam explains in Sefer HaMitzvos, the maror just follows, is just connected. It's just a part of the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach. And that's why today maror is only midrabanan, because we don't have a Korban Pesach. You can't eat the maror along with the Korban Pesach, and therefore there's no mitzvah from the Torah to eat the maror anymore. But that proof from the Gemara, that explanation from the Gemara simply deepens our question. If the purpose of the maror is to remind us of the slavery, why should its level of obligation be tied in any way to the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach is the sign of our freedom. It's the Korban Pesach that was offered right before the Jews left Egypt. The blood was on the doorposts. The Korban Pesach is a sign of geula, of redemption. The maror is a sign of slavery. I would imagine that there should be some sort of a scale. On one side, maror, on the other side, Pesach. And I might have suggested that when the Pesach is de'oraisa, when there's a biblical obligation to eat the Korban Pesach, maybe that's when you don't have to eat the maror. When we're focusing on the geula, maybe you shouldn't have to eat the maror. But specifically, when we don't have a Korban Pesach, when we aren't at a time of geula, maybe that's the time that we should be focusing on the terrible things that happened to us. The question still remains, why can't maror function on its own? What is it doing there? Why is it so dependent on the Paschal lamb for its existence? There's a very interesting comment of the Tiferes Yisrael, the famous commentary Tiferes Yisrael, It's a very interesting comment that he makes on the mitzvah of Mara. He's commenting on the Mishnah, which says that Rebbe Gamliel says you have to say these three things. You have to talk about matzah, you have to talk about Pesach, you have to talk about Mara. And the Tiferes Yisrael in his commentary, listen closely, says as follows. Tam hadavar, she'osin zecher lemerirus. Why do we make a reminder of the slavery? Why do we make a reminder of a slavery? That's a very different question than the question that Rabbi Gamliel asked. Rabbi Gamliel asked, why do we eat maror? What's the answer? To remind us of the slavery. The Tiferes Yisrael in his commentary on Mishnah asks a more basic question. Why are we talking about slavery on a night of celebration? Why mention the slavery at all? And he answers, Lefi Shemachmas Koshi Hashibud Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim. He explains that the slavery ended up being helpful for us. Something as difficult as the slavery? It wasn't just slavery, it was death. La'achar ma'asayim ve'eser shonim v'lohayu tzrichim lehishtabe dalad me'el shonim. He gives an example of something that the slavery did for us. The slavery, according to our rabbis, the intensity of the slavery lessened the number of years that we had to be in Egypt. Instead of having to be originally, it sounded like we were going to be there for 400 years. Instead, our sentence was knocked down to 210. Why do we mention the slavery on the night of the Seder? Because the slavery helped us in some way. It doesn't matter exactly how it helped us. The specific answer of the Tiferes Yisrael is not as important as the concept he's bringing up. That there's really no reason to have maror at the Seder. We take it for granted that we're supposed to have maror, that the night is a night of remembering the difficulties that we went through. But who says that the night of Pesach is supposed to be a time to remember the tragedies that befell the Jewish people? We have days for that. We have fast days. We have Tisha B'Av. Who says that the night of Pesach is a night that we are supposed to remember the difficulties we went through? Says the Tiferes Yisrael, what is it doing it at the Seder in the first place? The Seder is about the miracles that occurred to get us out of Egypt. The Tiferes Yisrael says that the presence of the Maror is there to enhance the joy of the freedom. We bring up the Maror, we have Maror at our Seder, not because we need to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. Maybe today we have forgotten and we need to remember. But if we wanted to remember, there would be some fast day sometime during the year when we would remember that we were slaves in Egypt. There is no mitzvah, so to speak, to just remember that we were slaves in Egypt, but to remember that God took us out of a very, very terrible situation. Perhaps this is the reason why there was maror at that first Seder in Egypt. The Jewish people were sitting there in their slave homes, in their slave clothes. Technically, they were still in the land of Egypt and under the domain of Egypt. What was the point of taking out a piece of lettuce and saying, this lettuce is to remind you kids that your great-great-grandparents were slaves in the land of Egypt? They were still slaves in the land of Egypt. What was accomplished? What was accomplished was eating the maror together with the Pesach. What was accomplished was coupling the maror with the Pesach. The maror was never meant to be eaten by itself. It was never meant to be a standalone. It was never meant to simply remind us that we were slaves in Egypt. It was meant to allow this geula to have greater meaning, and even perhaps for the geula to give greater meaning to that piece of maror in the first place. How could it be that we could recreate the slavery with a piece of lettuce? How could it be, as much as you may not be a salad eater, and as much as you may try, there's always that one person at the Seder, of course, who tries to relive the entire shibud by eating horseradish. That too is nothing compared to living a life of slavery. How could it be that something that small can be used to bring back the slavery? It's not there to remind us of the slavery. It's not there so we relive the slavery. A person is supposed to feel on the night of Pesach as if he left Egypt, not as if he was a slave in Egypt. How could something as small as lettuce have meaning on the night of Pesach? The answer is, it's there to be put together with the Pesach. It's not meant to bring all the slavery back. If it actually was supposed to represent the slavery in its fullness, it would be much more terrible. It's meant actually to be able to take something and put it in the context of something else. Think about it. We're pretty common with the fact that as Jews, we like to commemorate things by eating. It's true. We like to commemorate things by eating. It's through eating that we have experiences. But isn't it strange that so much of the commemoration of Pesach is through eating? I'm not talking about the great meal that you're going to eat. I'm not talking about the meal that you may eat wherever it is you're going to be. I'm talking about at the Seder itself. Now, there's no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself understood that there were very diverse learners in Klal Yisrael. Some people would experience the Shibud through listening. Some people would experience the Seder through listening, some through speaking, some through seeing. There are many, many things out on their table. But here we do it specifically by eating. And it's not even just putting the things out on the table. According to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, this mitzvah of Marah today is a zecher lemikdash. It's just a way of remembering what we did in the Beis HaMikdash. So why do we eat? What is it about eating? I think the answer is as follows. By eating the Pesach and the Matzah and the Maror, we had a beautiful symbolism for how life can come together even after times of tragedy. We could have looked at three things, or we could have felt three things. But when a person feels geula, I'm not exactly sure. We could have had a painful experience and a pleasurable experience. We could have seen something that we like and something that we don't like. We ate. Do you know what happens when you put the maror and the matzah and the Pesach together? It tastes pretty good. Especially if you consider the fact that in the times of the Exodus, and it's still done in some Sephardic communities today, matzah was lafa. We don't have the expertise. Ashkenazim don't go there. We eat very, very thin matzah. But really what this was lafa and lettuce and shawarma. The point is that something that's eaten alone, when you only have the condiment, when you only have the spice, it tastes terrible. And it seems so difficult, so bitter. But when you put it together in the context of the lamb and the context of the matzah, the context of the Pesach, suddenly you realize it actually makes the lamb taste better. It doesn't just wipe out. It doesn't just cover over. If you have enough lamb, then you won't be able to taste the lettuce. If you have enough lamb, you won't be able to taste the charif, the spicy thing that comes along with it. That's not the way it works. There's a fascinating line by the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the commentator, the famous commentator, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh on Parshat Bo, where he explains that the purpose of Maror is not to remember what happened to us, but because when wealthy people eat a piece of steak, it's well seasoned. That's what he explains. When a wealthy person sits down to a meal, you're not going to just sit and eat lamb and have no condiments. So in order to enhance the lamb, in order to enhance the Pesach, that's why God told us to eat the maror so we could have a better lamb sandwich. Does the Orach Chaim completely reject the comments of Rabbi Gamliel that Maror is there to remind us of what happened in the slavery? I don't think so. But I think what he's saying is that when we put that Maror in the context of the Pesach, suddenly it actually makes the Pesach sweeter. It makes the Pesach more tasty. It makes the Geula all the better. Maschu b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. Why do we have to start our sedarim, talk in such graphic detail about everything that happened to us? Is it a night of remembering? It's a night of celebrating. We don't know what we're celebrating. We can't appreciate what we have unless we understand what it was like to be a slave in Egypt and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to. And for this reason, the mitzvah of Maror, perhaps, is only a biblical mitzvah in the context of the Pesach. It's only when we have a Pesach, when we're actually there with the Geula, then the mitzvah is not to remember the slavery, but to take it and to put it in context. To eat simply the Maror alone doesn't accomplish what Maror was there for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this fascinating experience, fascinating culinary experience, where we could taste how gullus, how exile, how suffering, how difficulty could be perhaps put into the context, could perhaps be made different in the context once the Geula comes. What does this mean for us, ladies and gentlemen? First of all, we have to remind ourselves as we sit at the Seder how strange it is that we eat a piece of lettuce. How strange that is. Even for those of you who are salad eaters, to just eat romaine lettuce without any dressing, without any anything, how strange it is. When we eat the lettuce, we have to remember we're eating a condiment. Where's the main course? How many times have you eaten the maror and wondered, where's the beef? Where's the main course? Where's the fleishiks? There's something that should be bizarre. Imagine if at the Seder, and I have a son who certainly would buy into this, instead of eating lettuce, we had ketchup. We just ate the ketchup and we didn't eat the meat. It would remind us of how strange it is. When we eat the maror today, it's just a zecher to what could perhaps have once been. As we sit and we have a course where we don't just eat vegetables for a course, but we just eat a piece of lettuce, it has to strike us how strange that is. It has to strike us that there's something very significant that's missing from our Seder table. But even in the eating of the maror, there's the opportunity to gain the message of the real maror that was eaten with the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Lamb, who we lost this year, says so beautifully in his Haggadah, consider how astounding is our attitude towards this piece of food and how it speaks volumes to us. We do not weep when we eat it. We take this maror, this morsel of misery, and we recite a bracha over it as if to say, thank you, God, for this miserable memory. We then take this bitter herb and dip it into charoset, the sweet paste of wine and nuts and fruit. Life, we say, in effect, is neither all bitter nor all sweet. With rare exceptions, it is bittersweet. And we ought not to bemoan our fate, but to bless God for it. Even today, when we can't put the maror into the context of Pesach, we can't truly fulfill this biblical mitzvah, because just eating a piece of lettuce can't possibly be a fulfillment of a biblical command to experience the Exodus. But we can, with the blessing that we say before our maror, with the little dipping that we do in the charoset, we can, according to Rabbi Lamb, we can somehow put that maror into context. And Rabbi Lam ends by saying so beautifully, but the message of Maror is more than just the awareness of the bittersweet taste of life, more than just the idea that every black cloud has a silver lining. What Maror wants to tell us is that misery is not meaningless, that pain is not pointless punishment, that human anguish has larger dimensions, that the bitter leads to the sweet. In fact, without the foretaste of Maror, Charoset loses its value. There can be no sweet without bitter, no light without darkness, no joy without prior sadness. There can be no wealth without poverty, no faith without doubt, no freedom without slavery, no redemption without exile. A people that dips Maror into Charoset and makes a bracha over it is defeated neither by fate nor by foe. A folk that can find the mellow in a morsel of misery can drive away the darkness with its own light, the outer sorrow with the inner joy. At our Seders this year, we have to, if we want to experience a Seder, try to find meaning in our suffering as well. We have lost much by the time we've reached the second Seder of the pandemic. We've lost individuals in our family, but have we gained any individuals in our family? A Seder is a time to note that Dor Holeich, the Dor Ba. We have lost much in terms of where we thought we would be and our goals and our careers. But have there been moments of light? Those moments don't explain why we go through suffering, but those moments need to be experienced together at the suffering. And that is what the Seder is about. Taking a few moments in the Seder to note not just who is not at the Seder, but who is at the Seder. Not just what we've lost this year or what we've missed this year, but what we've been able to do this year. And perhaps, as Rabbi Lam said, that one cannot experience joy without experiencing suffering. As this Seder, please God, is on the cusp of going back to life. If we're able to have people at this year's Seder that we couldn't have last year, if we're able to be somewhere for this year's Seder that we couldn't, we need to allow the fact that we couldn't for so long have us celebrate now that we can. This Pesach, as we are, please God, on the cusp of Geula. Every single Pesach, we should feel like we're in the cusp of Geula. But we feel that whether or not the ultimate Geula is coming, and we need to pray just as fervently as we did last year that it does. But even if we're all on the cusp of, in the next few weeks, is finally beginning to move in a safe way at the right time from this terrible Galus that we've had, let the return to family, let the return to community, let the return to shul and school, and even Florida for those of you who are going, let the return be sweeter because we couldn't have it all this time. I always say to those gathered for our Seder that we are celebrating three Sedarim on the night of Pesach. We are recreating the original Seder in Egypt. We are recreating a Seder that was happening with the Beit HaMikdash at the time of the Mikdash with a pseudo Korban on our table. And we're also celebrating in whatever neighborhood we're in 5781. This year's Seder cannot be the same as last year's, which could not be the same as the year before. So much has happened, so much sorrow, but also glimpses of light. We need to bring the maror to the table, but only so that we can envelop it in our Pesach. I wish everyone a chag kasher v'sameach.